Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome inside the studio. I am your host, Spencer Wilson. A lot to get to. I once again am on my own. I'm flying solo. Sean, Mr. Cloud, still on vacation in Orlando. He returns to us this weekend, but he will not be joining me again here on the show. So I'll be running solo again, but not to worry, because Nevada Athletic Director Mr. Doug Knuth will join me in studio here in the next segment. Very happy to talk about him. It's been a very exciting year for Nevada sports. Football getting their first bowl win in 5 years. We'll talk about them a little bit. And, of course, dive into basketball, as that is just running rampant right now with positivity. In fact, the men's basketball team had just one game this past week. But, man, was it a good one, because it was a revenge game against the one team they've lost to this season, New Mexico. And the Pack didn't hold back. They came right out of the gates, aggressive, hungry, ready to pretty much tear apart the Lobos. And they did. I mean, 91-62 was the final. Nevada, I don't believe they trailed in this game at all, which, looking at their first matchup with New Mexico, again, that was on the road, and that is a tough place to play, and Lawler Event Center is just as tough this year, and I think New Mexico experienced that. I think both teams got a rude awakening. I think Nevada's was a little more rude just because of where they are in the standings, but I think New Mexico probably came into Lawler with expecting to kind of give Nevada another test and push them to the limit again, and Nevada just flat out said, "You're not going to do that. Not again. Not on our floor." And I believe it was a 51-26 lead at the half. I mean, they just came out and pummeled New Mexico from the tip. And then, of course, coming out and burying them then in the second half even further and winning 91-62. Just a great, great all-around game for this team. We've talked about back earlier in the season, last year, in fact, 2018. But we talked about how at the beginning of the year, this was a team that kind of got off to slow starts, and how they're going to have to fight through that, and they fought through that a fair amount this season earlier in the year. But we've seen now, especially the last five games, this team is ready to come out and dominate for 40 minutes, and they can. Not that they couldn't in the past, but it was kind of a question of not really if, but when. But now it's no question of when. We know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen straight from the tip. They've shown that, and they're going to continue to show that. And this 23-1 start, which is the best for Nevada after 24 games, is just that kind of exclamation point at the end of that statement. Like, we're here, we're ready to contend on a national stage, and this is how we're going to do it. And they've done great. I mean, 10-1 in conference, also their best start through the first 11 games in their conference play. And it's great to see this team just doing really what we knew they could do, which is dominate and hold their own. But it's great to kind of see the country really respect this team and this program. They respect what Coach Musselman has done and what he's built, and they're respecting these players. I mean, you can argue that fourth seed may be a little low for the way they've played in their last five, six games, but I think when you're top four, period, in any bracket, that's a successful season. That's something to hang your hat on, and it's going to set up Nevada for a great run. And, of course, Mr. Knuth and I will talk a little bit about that as well here coming up. But tomorrow night, Nevada makes their only trip to Laramie. Well, you usually only make one trip to your opponent, but this is the only game Nevada will play against Wyoming this year, and it is in Laramie, Wyoming. That game will be right here Saturday night on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. So tune in for Mr. John Ramey and see the call of that game. I believe pregame is at, the pregame show will be at 6:30. Tip will be at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, women's basketball also just having the one meeting this past week, unfortunately falling to New Mexico on the road, 74-85. But Imani Lacey was the one leading the way in this game for Nevada. She had a solid outing, her first 20-point game of her career, really doing a nice job out there of progressing through the season and becoming a better player for this team. And again, you got to give your tip of the cap to Coach Levens and that staff for being able to do that with all these young players. Three others were in double digits for that game. Kamaria King with 13 points, and then Jade Redmond and Deja Hamilton each with 10 points. The women's team will be here Saturday to host Wyoming. And, of course, before that game, I believe from noon to 2 o'clock, you can show up for the Girls and Women's Day in Sports. for all those clinics that the Nevada teams will be putting on. They'll have their athletes from all across the board out there giving clinics to young kids, boys and girls, just kind of show them the ropes. And, of course, Doug Newton and I will also dive into that a little bit as well coming up here. But if you go to that clinic and you enjoy that, which you should, it's going to be a lot of fun. Stick around for the women's game against Wyoming. And then, of course, Wednesday, when Nevada, the women's team, hosts San Diego State here in Reno, it'll be their Play for K Pink game. So a lot of fun coming up for Nevada basketball on the women's side this week. The men's tennis team has already postponed their weekend competitions, which is understandable with some of the weather we're supposed to get over this weekend. I don't know about you guys. I woke up with couple inches of snow in my driveway, and just to kind of show you what that old-fashioned Reno Tahoe weather is like, it was gone when I left for work this afternoon. So there you go. But they've, with the impending weather, they've canceled their competitions, which were supposed to be in San Luis Obispo and Santa Clara this past weekend. So the team will have to wait until next Sunday, the 24th, to get back on the court when they are here in Reno hosting St. Mary's. The swim and dive team is in Minneapolis getting ready for the Mountain West Championship meet happening February 20th to the 22nd. And the Nevada women's golf team had a solid showing in Riverside, California at the Battle at the Rock competition, where they finished 6th out of 15 teams. The track and field team finished their final meet before their conference championship starting next Thursday. That meet was the Boise State Team Challenge, where Nevada had a great showing, setting a total of 16 new personal records. The baseball team got underway today. In fact, they wrapped up just about an hour and a half or so ago. They matched up with number 24, Missouri State, and whopped them. 16-4 was the final in favor of Nevada. What a first showing by the Pack this year. And that is just how you want to start. And, of course, they will continue. They're right now at the Texas State Tournament. So they will continue playing tomorrow and Sunday. Tomorrow they will take on Texas State, and Sunday they will face Utah. The softball team also underway this season. They are 1-1 after their first two games, beating Santa Clara 6-4. And after a couple of postponed games, the Pack fell to Sacramento State 9-0 in 5 innings. The softball team will have a doubleheader today, and their first game is wrapped up. They are at the Houston Classic, and they took on Nicholls State University earlier this morning. Unfortunately, lost 3-0. They will be back in action later today at 4 o'clock here on the West Coast as they take on hosts University of Houston. But that is everything going on right now in the world of PAC sports. We're going to dive even further into it with Doug Newth as he comes into the studio after the break, so stick around for that here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the show. Very happy now to have the Nevada Athletic Director, Mr. Doug Newth, joining me again in studio. Doug, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Great day.
A lot of snow going on. Do you have a lot of snow at your house?
We did, yeah, and it's a lot of fun. I love this time of year. I love snow, and it makes me happy. Something about shoveling driveways that reminds me of childhood, so exciting day for me.
Do you have any problem driving in it? You a good driver in the snow?
Yeah, I love it. Born and raised in snow country in Connecticut, so it's very familiar. I love it.
Oh, there you go. Well, one team that doesn't have to worry about dealing with the snow is the football team. Even though their season ended a couple months ago, just want to get your feeling on kind of your lasting impression of how their season went, getting their first bowl win in 5 years. What's kind of your lasting impression of this team this year?
Yeah, well, I'm incredibly excited for what Coach Norvell is putting together. And anyone that's around the program, like we are day to day, sees how much work they put in. Even going back to last year in the offseason, the work in the weight room, the work that the players put in, the incredible success we've had in recruiting. Coach and his staff have done a great job recruiting, bringing in really high character, good guys. And all of that translates into what happens on game day, which is what us as fans, we see them 12 to 13 times a year. But the people in the department see it every day, see the work they put in, and it's all coming together and it's all paying off. And, you know, Coach has got a really good group of guys coming back next year.
Yeah,
we're young, and, people are excited about the future of the program. And it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I think that's when people in the community evaluate whether or not how good the football team is, they look and see, did you go to a bowl game? Yes. Did you win a bowl game? Yes. That's really important to us. But when we look at it internally, you talk about, the character and the quality of the students that the coaches are recruiting, the work they put in, And then all of that comes together on Saturday afternoons or Saturday evenings. And then we get a chance to cheer for the Pack and hopefully get wins. And we've done pretty well. So we're excited about the future, too.
Yeah, and one team getting a lot of wins right now is the men's basketball team. Yeah. Let's jump to what they've been doing. We've talked in the past about how football teams bring in revenue and attention. But when you have a team like this that's constantly in the top 10, that's selling out whatever stadium they decide or their schedule has them playing in, what is it just about this team that helps the university, that helps in this community, and just the way they've been playing this year?
Yeah, well, Coach Moss has got it going, and you know, it's not like this is the first time or first year we've seen it. I mean, it's been 3-4 years now watching him and the team and the program he's put together, and it's incredibly exciting for our fans, the community, and this is, I talk about this a lot, the power of positive athletics. I mean, this is what it means when you win in college sports. It brings the campus community together. It brings the surrounding community together, and it makes a lot of fun. And there's like a school pride right now. You see it in our student section, which, by the way, our students have done an amazing job at home games. But you hear it and you see it around campus, the faculty, the staff, people wearing their Wolfpack gear, people talking about the big game, talking about, you know, everything that happens inside the game. And you say, like, wow, it's just incredible school pride right now. And then around the community, everywhere you go, I'm at my health club, I'm working out, I'm at the supermarket getting some groceries, and people are coming up to me and saying, can't wait for the game tonight, can't wait, or, you know, how's this person doing, how's this person doing? And there's something about sports, how it unites us and brings us together, and Coach Muss has got that right now. He's built that, and it's just amazing right now, so we're incredibly excited. And we're going into the most important and the most fun part of the season. I mean, you head into late February and March, and everything you've experienced so far just it elevates to a whole different level, and there'll be even more excitement as our team plays some really tough teams here down the stretch.
Yeah, just came off a huge win against New Mexico here at home over the weekend. But every time I go online, check the recap, check the stats for these games, I feel like I always see a stat that says something like Nevada played in front of the nth largest crowd in school history. I see those numbers all season long. We've talked about the true top 10 atmosphere this team is playing in. I imagine you've made it to some games this year at Lawler Events Center. When you're in there as just a fan, how's it sound? What's the atmosphere like? I mean, I imagine it's a nightmare for teams coming here on the road.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of good arenas around the country in my career, and right now with the way Lawler is, it's second to none. I mean, it's amazing. Like I said before, our students are doing a great job. Our fans are standing and cheering and yelling and screaming, and it just makes it really tough for the visiting team. And, you know, Coach Muss is awesome, too, on the sideline. You know, he's waving his arms, getting the fans to stand up, getting the fans to cheer at really important moments of the game. And the fans and the crowd responds, and it's just so cool. I mean, it's really unique, too. Like, I hope our fans and our community understand, you know, having 10,000, 11,000 people every single night doesn't happen in every arena. I mean, gosh, it's a pretty special thing that Coach Muss has built, and it's a pretty special thing that our community has built, and it's been a lot of fun, and people are enjoying the heck out of it right now, and hope it keeps going.
And we've talked about the job that Coach Norvell has done and Coach Muss is doing right now, but Coach Amanda Levin's also on that bandwagon. She got a new deal, very well deserved. What is it just about her presence that you see, or her presence, the change that her presence brings to this program? What have you seen about
that? Yeah, well, she's an amazing, I mean, as good as Coach Musselman is, as good as Coach Norvell, Coach Bruce, I mean, we can go right down the line. Amanda Levins is as good as any coach I've ever been around. She's an amazing recruiter, not a good recruiter, an amazing recruiter, and obviously in only a year or so, she's proven that. She's got some great young athletes on the team and more coming. The second thing is she's an incredible X's and O's coach. If you ever watch, ever watch a game closely, she's calling and making the right plays at the right time and calling timeouts at the right time, you know, substituting at the right time. It just kind of like I shake my head sometimes and I go like, wow, like she's seeing the game from a different level. Like she's that good. And what's really special is, like a lot of our coaches and staff, she's a great recruiter. She's a great game coach, but she's just a really genuinely good person too, which makes it fun, you know, to work in the department, to make it fun to work with her. And that's true of all of our coaches. I just feel like we're so lucky. We have such good people in our department. Yeah. And we're winning at a pretty good level right now, and I feel pretty fortunate.
And the women have two home games coming up against Wyoming and San Diego State, doing a very cool thing Saturday afternoon before the Wyoming game, having it be National Girls and Women's in Sports Day. They're going to do their own kind of clinics all with Nevada athletes or on campus before the game. What can we know kind of specifically about that? How long will it go till? What can we look forward to with that?
Yeah, event? This is a cool deal. I have young kids, and I've brought my kids to this in the past, and all of our teams participate. And it's a way for the community to come out and just kind of get to meet some of our athletes, get to try some different sports. Like if you've never put on a football helmet and try to catch a football, that's hard to do. I mean, gosh, the football players make it look really easy sometimes. Yeah. But, for a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old young boy or girl to have them put a helmet on and catch a pass from a football player, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Have our tennis teams out there and, you know, kind of bat some tennis balls around or a volleyball. And to stand next to our volleyball players, I mean, our volleyball players, you know, 5'10", 6'2", 6'3", they're impressive athletes, and have your 6-year-old daughter or son stand next to him and bump the ball with him or practice setting or spiking a volleyball, it's a pretty cool deal, pretty fun. So we encourage the community to come out. It's a fun event for all the families, kids of all ages, and then obviously a really good basketball game. Wyoming's a really good basketball program, women's basketball team. They have a great coach and run a really good program. So that'll be a tough game for us, but hopefully we get a big win too on Saturday.
Yeah, it should be a great game. And also the following game when they host San Diego State on Wednesday, it'll also be their Play for K Pink game as well, which is always a lot of fun to see the team participate in that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big deal. And that's something Jane Albright started a number of years ago. And I'm so happy Coach Levins continues it. It's such an important thing for us to draw some awareness and raise some money for cancer research.
And there will be a slight change to the sports at the University of Nevada coming up. Men's cross country will replace the rifle team. How did that decision come about? How did you land on a men's cross country team? How'd that decision come to bring that?
Been hard. It's bittersweet. You're happy for the running community, and we had a track team, a men's track team, a number of years ago, and. To bring back men's cross country is pretty exciting for the running community. And as you know, in that sport, long distance running, training at altitude and racing at sea level is a huge advantage, a huge advantage for us. And you see that in New Mexico, University of New Mexico, or Boise State, Colorado State, Air Force, they all have dominant cross country programs because they recruit people from all around the country, all around the world who want to train at altitude, race at sea level. So we think we can be pretty good at it. Part of the deal, though, like I said, bittersweet. It's hard because the rifle team has done such good things for us over the years, for 24 years, and Coach Fred Harvey is the nicest gentleman, the nicest person you'll ever meet, and you just feel it's heartbreaking. You just feel bad that we've made that decision that we want to carry cross country into the future rather than rifle. And it all comes down to just alignment with the Mountain West Conference, right? Mountain West Conference doesn't sponsor the sport of rifle. In fact, there's only 23 teams in America that do, and only three teams on the Western continental United States, us, UTEP, and Air Force. All the other teams are on the East Coast, and military academies on the East Coast. So, you know, it was a hard decision. And as I said, it's just heartbreaking in some ways for our student athletes and for our coach. But, you know, long term, I think it's the really right decision for us as a department and as a university to really align ourselves with a strong, dominant Mountain West Conference sport, which is men's cross country.
Now, I'm not sure if there are any NCAA regulations that prohibit you guys from doing this, but can you help in any way those rifle athletes in finding a new place to go and play rifle, or are you guys kind of handcuffed in that scenario?
Absolutely, yeah, and that's a great point. I'm happy you asked the question. We're committed to supporting the students that are in school now. So the students that are on scholarship, rifle scholarship, will stay on scholarship. They'll have all the benefits of being a student athlete from now until they graduate. So they have pre-registration for courses. They have academic support. They have tutors and everything else to help them academically, which a lot of times they don't need. They're very, very good students. So. But we'll continue to support them. The university, President Johnson, has agreed to support a club rifle team. Okay. So for a long time, before it became an NCAA Division I sport, almost from the early 1900s, it was a club team at the university and then became a varsity team 24 years ago. So the president has agreed to create a club sport again where they can still have the opportunity to participate in their sport. Right. Just won't have the Division I status anymore. So, but yeah, we are fully committed to supporting the students and making sure they have all the resources they need to do well academically and finish their academic careers with us.
And then would the men's cross-country team also evolve into a men's track and field team as well, or would they just have a cross-country team to start?
Yeah, we don't have plans for that right now. That's a big undertaking. When you're talking men's cross-country is about 12 athletes. Mm-hmm. A men's track and field and cross-country is sometimes 60 to 80 athletes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just we just don't have the budget to support that kind of thing. But men's cross country, we plan on having 12 athletes on the team, and that's manageable.
Awesome. Well, I got one more question for you, Doug, before I let you go. With the men's basketball team kind of running through their conference right now, prediction from you, how far you think they will go in the NCAA tournament?
I don't do predictions. I am never right in predictions. But you know what? I'm excited, just like any of our fans are. I mean, this is rarefied air to be talking about being a high seed in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's cool. When you talk about, a 2-3-4 type seed, that's just fantastic for us. And that puts you in a position where you get a pretty good matchup maybe in the first round.
Absolutely.
And then hopefully in the second round you get a decent matchup. And most of our fans know that the NCAA tournament, the basketball tournament, it's all about getting the right matchups. And you just never know until Selection Sunday who's looming out in front of you, and that's why they call it, survive in advance. I mean, you got to survive each round and play that opponent and not worry about who's next on the bracket and who's on the, who's in the Sweet 16 and who's in the Elite Eight and who, whatever. That doesn't matter. Any coach will tell you, and it's really true. Only one game at a time, survive in advance. So I think that, if we do finish the season strong, and we do end up with a high seed, a 3 or a 4 or whatever that may be, on a 3 or 4 line, then that puts us in pretty good position for that first round game.
Absolutely.
And that's all we care about. We got to win and get past that first round game. And then you worry about who's next.
Absolutely. Well, Doug, I appreciate you coming and talking to me. It's been a lot of fun watching Nevada sports this year, and I imagine it's only going to get more entertaining as we go.
Yeah, anytime you need me to come in, I love talking at Wolfpack Athletics. So, and I know our fans out there listening love hearing about it. So anytime.
I appreciate Doug News stepping in with me here in the studio. We'll be back with more right after this. Very little movement in the world of the National Hockey League this week. There was some jostling going on. There was only one temporary divisional lead change this past week, and that was in the Pacific Division, where San Jose, just for a split second, took that top spot away from Calgary. But let's kind of look at how the standings are as of right now. Is in about mid-February. We got about 2 months or so left of the season. No real change in the Atlantic Division. Tampa Bay staying in the top spot there. They had a great week. They had 4 games. They won all 4 of them, adding 8 strong points to their ledger this year. They're now up to 90 points on the season. That's ridiculous for a team to have 90 points with about 2 months still to go. I've seen teams get to about 110, 112 or so points. I'm always amazed when they're able to do that. Tampa Bay could be well on their way to just smashing that point mark and just asserting themselves. I mean, this could be one of the best single season teams the NHL has seen in a while, and they just continue to add to stomping on the throats of their opponent. This mentality that they have, that no matter what you do on the ice, it's just not going to be good enough to beat them. And we saw, they had wins against Pittsburgh this week. They just smacked Dallas in the face the other night. They ended up winning 6-0. I think it was something like 3 or 4-0 after the end of the first period. I mean, it's ridiculous what this team is doing and how well they're doing it. Toronto, the Maple Leafs, stayed behind them. In second place, they had themselves a decent week as well, going 3-1 in their 4 meetings, adding 6 points to their total. Now they still sit in second place with 75 points, 15 back of Toronto. And we did have a change in the third and final automatic qualifying spot in the Atlantic Division. Montreal, who held it with 68 points at the end of uh, or at our show last week, had a tough week going 0-1-1, just getting the 1 point. And that actually has dropped them now into the wild card spot, the top wild card spot, but it's dropped them out of that automatic qualifier position. And Boston right now sitting in third with 72 points, 3 back of Toronto. So if I'm the Maple Leafs, yeah, I'm 15 points back of the Lightning, but we were just ahead of Montreal by 1 point a week ago. Now we have a 3-point lead on Boston. Of course, right now, if the season ended today, Toronto and Boston would meet in the first round, and we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years, that's a fun matchup in the playoffs. In the Metropolitan Division, nothing has really changed in the top three. The New York Islanders were in first last week with 68 points. They're in first still this week in the division with 74 points. They had themselves a good week, 3-1 as well, adding 6 points to their standings. Washington stayed in second place, 3 points behind the Islanders with 71. They also had a pretty good week, 2-1-1, adding 5 points to their ledger and staying within striking distance. And then Columbus, still in third, 67 points, 4 points back of Washington. They went 2-1 this week, just adding the 4 points to their ledger. And then, of course, looking at the wild card standings, Boston, who was the top wild card team last week, now sees that position being held by Montreal with 69 points. Talked about what they did this week, going 0-1-1. And Pittsburgh staying in that second wild card spot with 67 points. Pittsburgh 2-1 this week, adding 4 points to it. So not much, like I said, not much changing in the NHL playoff picture on the Eastern Conference right now. Tampa Bay would take on Pittsburgh, and that would be a really interesting first-round matchup with arguably the best team in the NHL against still one of the best players in the NHL in Sidney Crosby to see that matchup in the first round. I don't like using this word, but it has a chance to be pretty epic to get that for a first-round matchup. And then the New York Islanders would play Montreal. I think that'd be a fun matchup, a good clash of styles between the Islanders and the Canadiens. And then, of course, you would have Toronto taking on Boston, which we already talked about. That's been a very fun playoff matchup to see. We've seen that at least two times the last 5 years in the playoffs, and those teams enjoy their physicality, and I think that's something that all of us hockey fans can enjoy. When two teams that like to hit get on the ice, it always makes it a little more fun. And then you'd also have Washington playing Columbus, which would be a rematch of a last season first round series, which I believe went 6 games. Of course, Washington winning that because the Capitals would go on to win the Stanley Cup last year. And the rest of the wild card standings below Pittsburgh kind of chasing that postseason, not a whole lot of change there. Carolina still on the bubble with 64 points, 3 back of Pittsburgh. Carolina had a somewhat nice week going 2-1, adding 4 points to their ledger, and then behind them. Buffalo still sits in fourth with 63 points, Philadelphia with 59 points. This was the only change in the wild card standings outside of the playoff picture, with Florida and the New York Rangers swapping spots. Florida now sixth, the Rangers now seventh, both with 56 points. And then Detroit, New Jersey, and Ottawa still the bottom three in the Eastern Conference with 53, 50, and 47 points, respectively. In the West, again, Central Division, top two, not a lot of change. Winnipeg, who was just ahead of Nashville by 1 point a week ago, now has a 2-point cushion on Nashville. That's going to be a race, a hot race, coming down these last 2 months, especially with the struggle that Nashville had this week, losing back-to-back games against St. Louis, which hurts, that being their big rival. But that really helped the Blues getting to leap up from being the second wild card spot a week ago. They have now jumped 2 spots to being third in the Central Division. And you can point that to the week they had, winning all 4 games, just like the Tampa Bay Lightning did, and putting 8 points on their schedule. And that is just huge. I mean, when you can do that, when you get a chunk of games in a week span like that, and you can win all 4, that does so much, not only for your standings this late in the season, but for your confidence this late in the season. When you get closer to the playoffs, it's which team gets hotter and which team plays best. And if you can start to build that a month and a half, 2 months out, and just keep improving and figuring out how you can play better and how you can just attack teams, it's going to make you a bigger weapon as you get to the postseason. So great to see St. Louis. I mean, not that I'm a St. Louis fan, but if you are a Blues fan, great to see them and the week that they had. And that I mentioned in the Pacific Division, we did for a slight moment get a lead change when San Jose took over the top spot over Calgary. But with the games the last couple of days, Calgary has retaken the top spot off a tiebreak, because Calgary and San Jose both have 75 points. But like I said, Calgary holding the tiebreaker. And then, Calgary struggled this week. They had three games. They went 0-1-2, just adding 2 points to their schedule. So they kind of stumbled. San Jose, 2-1 in their three games, added 4 points. So that's how they were able to close the gap and create a tie for that top spot, at least in points. But, of course, the ROW tiebreaker goes to Calgary as of right now. And then Vegas was sitting in third last week with 66 points and are sitting in third this week with 66 points. Vegas losing all three games this week in regulation, so not able to get any points out of it for the past 7 days, and that hurts you. The good news, though, for Vegas is that both wild card teams still coming out of the Central Division, with Dallas dropping from third place in the Central to the number one wild card spot, and then Minnesota dropping from the top wild card spot down to the second wild card spot. So if you're Vegas, you're looking at that going, okay, the two closest teams to any kind of division automatic qualifier, that being Minnesota and St. Louis, are both coming out of the Central Division. Vancouver, who was in third in the wild card standings last week, is still in third with 59 points, so they're still 7 points back of Vegas. Although last week they were 11 points back. So Vancouver has closed this gap. And of course, when you have a 2-2 week and you add 4 points to your season total, that'll happen. So Vegas going to have to make some adjustments, which is odd because Marc-Andre Fleury not playing horrible. I mean, he's got 29 wins, which leads the NHL. And I believe, I thought I had another stat down here. I do not, but either way, Marc-Andre Fleury still, he's a great goalie. He's a top-notch, a top-class goalie in the NHL, and really it's just kind of been the defense around him, which we saw that really affect this team in the Stanley Cup final last year against Washington. The defense in front of Marc-Andre Fleury kind of let him down, and I feel like that's been the case this past week. He just hasn't really gotten any help in front of his net. And then, of course, like I said, Vancouver still third in the wild card spot on the bubble, actually tied with Minnesota in points at 59, but that ROW tiebreaker going to the Wild. And then Colorado State in fourth place with 57, but Edmonton took a tumble, a team that a week ago was really in the wild card hunt. They were knocking on the door, tied with Colorado and only trailing Vancouver and St. Louis by 2 points. But Edmonton struggling this week, losing both games, has fallen to seventh. So from fifth to seventh in the wild card standings. And they are now 6 points off of Minnesota for that final wild card spot. So another team, much like Montreal, it's going to have to figure some stuff out and the good thing is you got plenty of time to do that. With 2 months, you're going to be able to get back and try to get into a rhythm. But Chicago took over, jumped Edmonton for fifth. Arizona then jumped Edmonton from seventh to sixth. And then Anaheim and Los Angeles still the bottom two teams in the Western Conference. Of course, Anaheim firing their coach earlier this week. We'll see what comes of that as the season goes on. I believe their general manager will be filling in as coach for the remainder of the season. Obviously, they are pretty far out of playoff contention. And just as the NHL was on their All-Star break a couple of weeks ago, the NBA is now on their All-Star break. And I think the NBA has done a good job with their All-Star weekend. They've kept the celebrity game, which I think is fun. I'm not really into this anymore. I used to love the celebrity game. I used to love tuning into it, watching it, and thought it was funny how they had a majority of them mic'd up. You could hear a lot of the trash talk going on the court. But it seems like every year the roster comes out, I'm a little less excited for the people taking part. There are some that I think are still going to have a lot of fun, like Steve Smith, the NFL great. I hope he's mic'd up, and I hope he just trash talks everybody from baseline to baseline. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I think Jay Williams, obviously being a former college basketball star, I think he's going to love just being out there and showing off in front of people. But there are a couple names I just don't get, like Dr. Oz. Really? Do we want to watch Dr. Oz play basketball? And what qualifies as a celebrity these days? He's a TV doctor. That didn't really work out as, you know, as it did with Dr. Phil. I wouldn't want to watch him play basketball. And it says, television personality. Does that qualify as a celebrity now? I don't really want to see Dr. Oz play basketball. I just don't. And I'm probably going to have a mic. Was he going to give people diagnose somebody during the game? I don't want to see that. That's not fun. It's not entertaining. I mean, come on. I do like the fact that JB Smoove is back. I think he's hilarious. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, Ray Allen. Love it when they get NBA Hall of Famers out there. I mean, because they're probably just looking around like, what am I doing? But I think he's going to just – I think if he doesn't hit at least like 10 threes in people's faces, I'm going to be disappointed if I watch. I haven't decided if I'm going to watch it. It's on later today, though. It's like, I don't know, an hour and 10 or so minutes from now it'll be on, I think, ESPN. But, you know, also with these games, I feel like I'm 90 years old whenever I see a name and it says rapper next to it and I just don't know who they are. I've given up on the rap game. I just don't get it anymore. I'm not really a fan of it. Quavo. I don't know. He's there. Apparently, he's the defending MVP. Who else did I see on here? Oh, Rhapsody, which I actually thought was a really clever name for a rapper. But again, no idea. No idea who that is. I just don't get these rappers anymore. But that's always fun. But you know what? I more look forward now to the Rising Stars game. I do the celebrity game. Because I love the way that they're doing it now with the Rising Star thing. Because it used to be rookies versus sophomores, which I thought was fun. But, you know, it was kind of like inexperience versus a little experience. I kind of like to see it meshed. I liked it when they had the celebrity captains or the celebrity coaches. I think Shaq and Barkley did it 1 year. I thought that was fun. But I think the whole Team USA versus Team World is a cool way to do it. Because next to soccer, I feel like basketball has the most attention across the world. I think it's played in so many countries now that you're starting to see that talent kind of flow in, and it's adding kind of that uniqueness that you see in soccer, the fact that no matter where you go in the world, you're going to see a team of men or women that play this that are full of people from all over the world. So it doesn't matter if you go to Brazil. If you go to Brazil and watch a soccer game, you'll see people from Croatia and Australia and China and South Korea all on this team playing soccer in Brazil. That's kind of the cool thing you get about soccer. And I feel like in the United States, we're kind of getting that now with basketball. People from all over the world are coming to the United States to play at the top level of this sport. And it's cool to see. And I like the fact that the NBA is now showcasing that with this Team World versus Team USA type of layout. I always think it's a fun game because these guys are young. They got a lot of energy. They love getting out there in front of a crowd and putting on a show. And honestly, if you're going to watch either the Celebrity game or the Rising Stars game, go with the Rising Stars game. And then, of course, All-Stars Saturday night, tomorrow night, with the Taco Bell Skills Challenge, which it is a highway robbery that they did not put Dwayne Wade in the All-Star Skills Challenge. Dirk Nowitzki is getting put in the three-point challenge. Both of them are retiring after this season. Dirk gets one more shot at the three-point contest. I feel like Dwayne Wade should have gotten one more shot at the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. I think that is completely wrong that he is not on that roster. But either way, that's always fun. It's always a fun way to spend a Saturday night watching those three competitions, the Rising Stars Challenge, the three-point shootout, and, of course, the slam dunk contest. So tune in for that. And then, of course, the All-Star Game Sunday night. But when we come back, we'll talk about some more stuff going on this weekend. The Alliance of American Football had their first week. How'd that go? And the UFC having more issues in Australia. That's all coming up next on the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. So the new regime of professional football in the United States has officially begun. The Alliance of American Football had their official week one last weekend. And, nothing. It wasn't like anything majorly caught anybody's attention. Like you woke up Monday morning and you ran up to the first person you saw and you went, oh my gosh, did you see the Alliance of American Football? But it also wasn't anything like turning off the TV about halfway through and going, what is this garbage? Honestly, it was okay. That's really what I think it was. I think it was okay. But it shows that people in this country know that we want to see football being played. We want to see it being played in the, how do I phrase this? The, I guess, just the best structured way. I guess that's what we want, because that's the whole issue with the NFL. What they're trying to figure out is, where do we put these rules? How many rules do we put in? How do we enforce them? Can we enforce them? Because that's the issue. And of course, I love the I think what will become the infamous jab of Vince McMahon about his XFL rules, saying we're going to know what a catch is. I think that's going to just sting for as long as it's just going to be out there. And I think that's kind of the issue, and that's what the Alliance of American Football is going after. They're going after setting up football in a structure, in a way that you can watch it and easily follow it. Some of the changes or some of the differences, of course, no kickoff, which I'm okay with. I feel like the way with how many touchbacks you have nowadays, kickoffs are kind of just ceremonial for the most part, which I think is where we're going to go with it anyway. You kind of like how you have a ceremonial first pitch in baseball. I feel like before the Super Bowl, you're just going to, you know, kick the ball off and everyone will catch it and we'll clap and we'll just put it down at 25 and we'll just go on with it. But I kind of like that. Kind of like no kickoffs. Just put the ball down. Let's go. There is no extra points. You score a touchdown, you go for two. There's no onside kicks. I think if you want to go for an onside kick, they put it at your 20 or your 25, and it's like 4th and 12, and you got to pick that up. So I like some of the subtle changes that the Alliance of American Football has implemented. And they had some pretty good games last week. Really, I mean, the San Antonio-San Diego game, 15-6, San Antonio beat San Diego. I'm not sure how I feel about the Alliance of American Football having a team in San Diego. I like the name, the San Diego Fleet. I think that's a really, really slick name. I think obviously it fits the area really well. And I'll be interested to see kind of the support behind it, because we all, I mean, me as a Charger fan, I know the relationship petered out between that city and that team. And I think it's interesting they're trying this again. And I'm curious to see how the attendance and the support goes for this team. And who knows, with the Chargers kind of in limbo right now in Los Angeles, obviously with the Rams making it to the Super Bowl and really being a prominent team since they moved to that city, I could maybe see a Charger Fleet kind of, I don't know, like a mesh. Like maybe one dissolves into the other. I don't know. But I like and I don't like seeing football played in San Diego, because it's bittersweet to see that. But I am happy that that area gets football returned to them. Then you had Birmingham's 26-0 beating of Memphis. Orlando beat Atlanta 40-6. And Arizona beat Salt Lake 38-22. So kind of a mixed bag for their first week. But again, I think for anything starting off, for anybody starting off in the world of professional football, when you know that you're competing with the NFL, I think you had about as good a first week as you could have hoped for. And we'll see how the second week goes this Saturday and Sunday. TNT will have Salt Lake at Birmingham tomorrow at 2, and the NFL Network will carry Arizona at Memphis, and Orlando at San Antonio on the CBS Sports Network, and Atlanta at San Diego on the NFL Network. And it's interesting to see that the NFL is partnered with the Alliance of American Football. I think when it was first announced, a lot of people, as I know I did, looked at it and went, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if someone's really going to try to go, not necessarily head-to-head with the NFL, but let them know that somebody else is here and somebody else can put this sport on. But it's looked like Goodell and the NFL have really embraced the Alliance of American Football, which honestly is probably better for them. And then last weekend, the UFC went to Melbourne, Australia, having an event at Rod Laver Arena, which I thought was very interesting, very unique. Of course, it was supposed to be for the middleweight championship between Kevin Gastelum and Robert Whittaker. And then, of course, Whittaker, suffering a hernia, was unable to compete. Of course, you love the passion and attitude you get with fighters. Kevin Gastelum, who of course was the challenger, showed up to the press conference, knowing of course that his fight had been canceled, but he was already in Australia. So he showed up to the press conference after it had been announced his fight was canceled with a UFC belt and declared himself the champion. That's just great. That's great showmanship right there. But of course, Israel Adesanya, Anderson Silva went on to main event the bout. And I thought it was odd, even though it wasn't the planned main event, they still only fought 3 rounds. So I thought when you had a main event title fight that even though it wasn't for a title, it was still just a main event, I thought you fought 5 rounds. But either way, they only fought 3 rounds. Adesanya won by unanimous decision. I thought it was still a fun event. Obviously, wasn't as good as it could have been, but I still thought for what they had to work with, it was still a really, really solid card. But of course, now that the UFC is done, the WWE will put on their Elimination Chamber event this Sunday, at Houston, Texas, at the Toyota Center. This is always kind of a fun pay-per-view just to see what people can come up with, the ideas they can spawn inside the Elimination Chamber, of course, crowning their first ever women's tag team champions. Should be fun to see how that goes. But that's the show, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in. I appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again to Doug Knuth, the Nevada Athletic Director, for joining me on the show. I hope he had a fun day, and I hope you all have a fun weekend. If you're going to travel out there, be safe. We're supposed to get more snowy weather over the weekend, I believe. So just make sure that you drive safe and you protect yourself. But have a fun weekend. Enjoy the sports and be safe out there, everybody. Peace.